Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 268, part 1, Self. Today is Friday, November 23rd, 2012.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's tape is entitled Self. I was in the grocery store and I was looking at the magazine rack, and there was a magazine there and it said Self on it. And I thought to myself, that must be quite a magazine. In Job 40 and 3 and 4 it says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. Here we have a man whom God, according to his own testimony, said was a perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. But see, in his nearness to God through suffering, more light was enabling him to truly see his own condition. And so you see, as good as he was, he said, Behold, I am vile. Kind of fits in with your song on self. And I believe we, along with Job, come to the same conclusion. We are regenerated, we are born again. Then we come closer to God. We struggle and we suffer. And come closer to God yet. And the closer we become to God and the closer we get to God, the more light we receive. And then I think we all must say, Behold, I am vile. You all come to that point. It's like cleaning a room with a 25-watt light bulb. Are you hearing this? Then we say, now this room is really, really clean. Are you hearing me? Do I have your attention? This room is really clean. And then we put in a 100-watt light bulb. And what happens? The more light reveals more of self over and over and over again. And maybe before you came to church, you had a big blowout. And yourself was revealed. And maybe you got in a great big argument. I don't know. And maybe you're listening on the radio. Maybe you're right now into a middle of a great big emotional upset in your family. And what is that doing? It's revealing. It's giving you more light on yourself. When we are saved by grace, we receive a new nature. But you see, we're not entirely cleansed of the corruption in our own hearts. I thought when I first got saved, well, now I'm totally pure. I am clean can be, which is true in a sense. But yet there was a corruption in mine own heart. And so when we're saved, we are pardoned of all of our sins. Now, are you hearing me? You listening on the radio, don't get into a private Bible study in the middle of a message. And so when we are saved, we are pardoned of all of our sins, yet the sin nature now is only under the control of a new nature. Are you hearing this? And it will remain with you until you die. How many know that to be the truth? Until the day that you die, that old nature is going to be with you. It's the flesh and the spirit, they're going to war after one another. And there'll be a deliverance daily. Hallelujah. Oh, if we could only get that straight in our minds so we wouldn't be walking around with those pursy lips and those religious lips. Don't mean a thing. Underneath all those robes is that old sinful nature. And it's always going to be there. Don't get guilty about it. It's going to remain, I said, until you die, and we live with those two natures. Now, there is one nature which cannot sin because it is born of God. Cannot sin. Glory. And then there is the other nature which sins all the time. Now, the nature that comes from God is pure because it comes from God. It is perfect as God is. And then there is the Adam nature which has become altogether vile, altogether corrupt and sinful and devilish, the Bible says. Now, I hear someone on the radio saying, well, then what are you saying? That within each born-again believer, there remains a heart that cannot do right any more than it could before regeneration. It is continually wanting or actually running after evil, either in your mind or with a physical step. It always generates towards that end. Now, you can put it on a starvation diet. You can have it join the Fat Watchers Club. But sooner or later, it will sneak its Dagwood sandwich and chocolate cake. It will have its own way, one way or another, and you can cover it up until there's a big blow. That's what it means to be honest before God. It's still as evil as it ever was, and under pressure, it likes to suggest avenues of escape. Well, maybe I should take a few pills. Maybe a little wine won't hurt me. Maybe a couple of beers will relax me. Oh, you know, I'm gaining a little weight. Maybe I should go back to smoking. Beware, the Bible says, the snare of the fowler. It's as hostile towards God's laws as ever. Oh, if we could just simply get it down and say, hey, we are sinners saved by grace. No better than anyone else, save that the grace of God has saved us. We're no better than the whore in the street. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the Jesus coming forth and going to the right hand of the Father that gives us any kind of edge. When we start to appreciate that, then the sin falls off. When we start to appreciate ourselves and how nice we are, and what clothes we wear, and how long our dresses are, and how this, and how that, and how religious we look, we become self-righteous and tremendous bores. Icky poos, if you will. Are you hearing this? Well, you say, where'd that word come from? I don't know. That's what people like that remind me of. Well, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. And they drive themselves crazy with the I don'ts. Well, what do you do, pray tell? Are you keeping yourself? Are you saving yourself? Are you building up a self-righteous image, a God? And the world can't even touch you with a 10-foot pole and doesn't want to. And if you left, they wouldn't miss you one bit. But anyway, this nature is hostile towards God's laws as ever. See, because for the most part, the old nature is held in check. Much like I said, the Fat Watchers Club. We must advertise every sin that drops off like every pound. And that, again, is pride. A lot of times we can walk in pride because we don't do certain things. Well, I don't dope and I don't smoke and I don't look at the girls and I don't do this and I don't do that. So what? What credit should you have for not doing those things? You don't get any of the credit. God gets all the credit and all the glory for it. Because the Bible says you are kept by the power of God. Now, the minute you leave that, the more it's going to build up. The sin nature is going to build up because you put yourself under a law and under this. You start to get prideful in the thing, what you don't do. Then you want to do it all the more because it creates sin in you. And oh, you're just fighting it all the time. You become mean. Your heart, in a way, becomes corrupt. It's going to be with you until that old tabernacle of flesh is buried. And so let me now point out the evil nature which remains in the righteous, those that have been made righteous. Now, isn't that good? God hath, that means before, God hath made you righteous. You mean I'm no better than a guy who just got saved and still got some bad habits? No, he made him righteous. Just like he's made you righteous, you've been saved for 15 years. Maybe you get up at testimony time and you say, oh, I'm glad I'm saved. Praise God and sit down. You've been doing that for 20 years. And if that's all you do, it doesn't mean a thing. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad I'm saved today. But what are you doing? No, I believe the fruit of the Spirit is work. Because the flesh doesn't want to do it. It's got to be of the Spirit. And so Job says, behold, I am vile. And I think that's the reason people have trouble understanding Job is because of the lack of experience gained through suffering. And a lack of understanding about the evil side. Or maybe it's a very small 25-watt light bulb in the personal revelation department. And so Job again said, behold, I am vile. See, because he didn't always know it. And there are a lot of people that don't know it. They might get saved and they might go to a self-righteous church and they might not do a thing. And they get so self-righteous, and they sit in the same seat every Sunday, and if anybody sits in there, they could kill them for sitting in their seat. And they walk into church, and they do the thing, and they leave there, and they fight all the way home. Why? Because they're striving. Maybe they forget from whence they came. I never forget it. I never forget that for 1 minute that I was an alcoholic. Not that I'm guilty over it, but I just have to praise God. Because at one time in my life, I had to tie a necktie around my arm to get a whiskey glass to my face. You know what I'm talking about? You pull on the pull this necktie around here, I could not get it to my face, and I'd pull this up and I'd bring this hand up and I could drink. And I had to shake so bad, and I just love that. I thought, God, I'm just so shaky, I can't go out to eat, I'll have to have a couple of drinks first. And now that's gone. Glory to God. I could just praise the Lord for that. I mean, that's enough. And I think through that type of suffering, and even after that we come into the body of Christ, if we don't have no suffering in it, that means that we're not doing anything. Because the minute you start to do something, that's when the pressure comes on. That's when the suffering comes forth. So yes, I'm interested, radio audience, in giving you this message. And like I said, don't get into a private Bible study here. Listen. But all through the long controversy, he declared himself to be an upright person. I am upright. And according to God, he was. He said, my righteousnesses will hold fast, and I will never let it go. What does that smack of? Self was proud of past accomplishments. Now, maybe you never heard it ministered this way before. It was used of praises, which are hard to get over. When I first came out of the field, and I call it the field. Of course, this is a field of a type. But I'm talking about having a church in the suburb and having another church in Wisconsin and evangelizing and going all over, you built up a certain amount of pride. Oh, here comes Pastor Paul. Oh, wow. And I dropped my bombs. Boom, 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 boom. And then leave. And the pastor had to live with all these people. So easy to drop our bombs. So easy for TV to drop bombs out there. So they don't have to live with these folks. People can take it off of the TV. In fact, they just snap a Frito-Lay chip and slurp some Pepsi and forget the guy even said anything. But to actually physically live with one another and embrace another sinner saved by grace, that's too much. See, the love of self, because of being good and good and righteous, can be a hard thing to shake. Even while his body was full of boils, it says his friends vexing his mind bitterly, yet he held fast to his integrity and would not confess his sin. But then listen what happens when God pleaded with him and questioned him and said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Are you saying I'm doing wrong by allowing this? And you know what? That immediately shut his mouth and he said, behold, I am vile. Well, I hear someone on the radio saying, that's not true of all the saints, as you look in the mirror. In Psalm 51, David says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, this wasn't intended to justify himself, but rather it was meant to complete his confession. It's my nature. I was born with it. And here I've been trying to get rid of something that's ingrained in me by myself, and it isn't working. Here my mother was the Lord's handmaid, and my father was considered a good man. And even God said David was a man after his own heart. What I think many must learn as David did. He confessed he had sin in his heart over and over and over. And what did it do for him? Oh, it did so much. It kept him from judging and allowed him to be merciful. And oh my God, if we ever needed anything in this world right now, we need mercy. Mercy. Mercy for the backslider. Mercy for the attackers of the backslider. Mercy for everybody. There's enough to go around. God is the God of mercy. It isn't going to run short. We run short. And Paul found, he says in his members, a law warring against the law of his mind and bringing him into the captivity of the law of sin. Oh, he says, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he finally cries it out. Why can't we do that? Are we better saints than Job? Do you think it's strange that David had sin? Are you too proud to exclaim, let's say, with Isaiah, I am also a man of unclean lips? Every time we gossip, every time we point the finger, every time we say tisk, tisk, we are a man of unclean lips. Or maybe you have so progressed in pride and self-righteousness that you can't exclaim with Paul that there is no good thing that dwelleth in your flesh. Well, if that is so, hear the word of the Lord. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth, it says, is not in us. And if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. Pretty heavy. And this also now begins to make me wonder how preachers can turn on one another, holding up their old sinful nature of someone else. You know what that does? It only exposes a worse evil in us. Who in the end is exposed? Oh God, in my life, I've done things and probably exposed people, and then I have to go to bed after this person is totally dead. Did you ever do that as a child? And you've got on the phone and you've just totally tore someone to shreds. And then you have to live with yourself. Oh, that's hard. Who is exposed? When the light of the Holy... I'd rather be exposed by man than exposed by the Holy Ghost. Laying there naked. Is there a way out of that? There sure is. Cry out, mercy! Who will deliver me out of this wretched body? And then you start to get free. Then you start to move in the things of the Holy Ghost. Then you start to get mercy. When you start to get mercy, God pours mercy back in your vessel. Because after all you are is a vessel that can receive. You only receive what you take in. God says, I have foreordained that you should be the vessels of mercy. Not of wrath. Not of judgment. Jesus said, I didn't come to judge, but to set the captives free. Wow. And you know, when you would serve your God best, sin frequently works in you the most furiously. About the time you're going to do something for the Lord. Even in our best and even in our happiest moments, sin comes in. Oh, I think many of us have abstained for a time from doing anything we call sin. See, there's a lot of things that we call sin. Drinking, that's a sin. Smoking, adultery. But see, the Bible says there are secret sins. They're so secret, God doesn't tell you the secret because it would just totally blow your mind. Secret sins you know nothing about. God says, I'll overlook your sins and remember them no more. Why can't we overlook people when they're in trouble? God does. You get down into the ghetto, you listening on the radio, by the way, keep your cards and letters, come and put some money in them, get them down here, we need your help. When you're down in an area where there's poverty and a lot of drugs and things like that, in the open, and then no money to go, you know, so you can do the thing. It's a little bit of a different story, isn't it? I think there's not one of us that is inwardly perfect. And I think some of the most loudest, self-righteous Bible thumpers, as loud as they yell, can never truly convince themselves. Why are they so loud and so yelling and so on the run? They're trying to convince themselves. Well, the Bible tells us that's foolish. Even the world, they say, convince a fool against his will, he's of the same opinion still. See, if you were perfect, radio audience, you wouldn't even be here. Now, some may profess perfection. When they are honest, I think then they must admit there is no such thing. Now, I don't have to prove this. You do it yourselves every day. The accuser of the brethren has, I believe, many helpers. And then after Satan uses us as the accusers of the brethren for such an activity, are you hearing this? He'll dump you to live with your own conscience. After that you have in part or totally destroyed someone, Satan will dump you. And you have to live all by yourself. I woke up this morning and I had just a pain in my heart. I was thinking about what was going on in the Christian world and how brothers have been accused and back and forth and like that. And I thought, but how about the accusers? And I started to feel real sick for the accusers. Because they are the ones that are going to be dumped on. The accusees, they're all done now. They can go someplace and wash dishes and sweep floors. And my God, sometimes I think that would make me happy just to have a job like that where I didn't have pressure. Just go someplace and mop a floor someplace. Are you hearing this? But how about the people over there, the accuser? Where are they going to go? Where do they hide? Every time they look in the mirror. We've all been in that kind of a thing, haven't we? Ever falsely accused somebody and say, I know they stole that. How do you know? I just know. You're wrong. I mean, I've done that about 400 times. I have in my lifetime. 415, maybe 16, I don't know. 1,000 times. Maybe we sometimes falsely accuse our children. You know what's neat about kids? They forgive you. Yeah, they do. They forgive you. Well, you know, you say, well, that's because they're so dumb. No, that's because they still have love. You can spank a kid and they'll come right back. Huh? Why can't we do that when we're chastised of the Lord? That's where to go. No, if you were perfect, you wouldn't even be here. And there is no such thing as a perfect person. Look at how many times you were so easily surprised into sin. Surprise! You got all done, and maybe you've been tearing some brother down or some sister down or something like that, or you did a little crooked thing where, well, I guess that wouldn't be sin. As you put your foot over a $10 bill, wait till everybody leaves. Praise the Lord, isn't He good? You pick it up. Huh? Maybe you got up this morning, you're listening on the radio. You prayed fervently. You even worked up a sweat. And now you say, I will have a great day. I claim it. Let me tell you something now. When you stake a claim, you got to defend it. Did you ever see them cowboy movies? They go stake the claim, and then all the bad guys, after all the claims are staked and everything's going good and you're hauling gold out of these pits on these, like mules, these guys come up, see? Bam, 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 huh? No, you got to fight for what you claim. There's a fight. The Bible says we are in a battle. Put on the full armor of God. And of course, that's Jesus. Don't worry about having to carry a big shield around and big boots and a helmet and all that and a big sword big as a weaver's beam. You certainly give up then. But then we say, well, you know what? I claimed it, so now I'm going to have a promising day. I just know it. A day full of fruits, a day full of witnessing, and a day full of love. No sooner do we say this than something comes along and ruffles our feathers. We look like a chicken that's been pulled through a knothole backwards. The phone rings, disappointment right away. The kids scream out in rebellion. Maybe your wife brings you down from cloud nine with a bag of nags. Or your husband says, you call this love, burnt toast? And so you blow it. No sooner do you confess it than you blow it. Your tongue takes over and expresses your whole heart. Am I getting across to you that your sinner saved by grace? Oh, and if the door would knock, say, who's that? Someone's at the door. Oh, I hope they didn't hear us. Oh, hi. And you're all sweaty and you've all been fighting in the house and the phone rings. Hello, praise the Lord. Smith residence. But anyway, your temper ignites and scorches everybody near and dear to you. Plus every enemy since your mind started creating them. From the sandbox, let's say, to adulthood. You bring all the characters out on the stage of your mind and you, what they did this and they did that and so on. Bring them all out. The Bible says, forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards the high mark, the calling and cry. Forget it! Go on.
There you have it. That was episode 268. That was part one to self. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve some
to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. A young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preaching spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.